Does it seem like a year to you? Actually, 13 months. 13 months since our first lockdown back at the end of March 2020. And here we are, the 2nd of May 2021. For some, the time has flown. For others, the time I'm sure has dragged. But for some of us, this Sunday marks our first time back in church for gathered worship since March of last year. I'm conscious that's not the case for all. Some of you are part of our fellowship and don't feel quite ready yet for coming back in among us. Perhaps circumstances do not allow. Perhaps you're listening to these messages in some other part of Ayrshire or Scotland or indeed some part of the world. It's been a tremendous encouragement to me over these past months to hear from folks who have found it helpful simply to be able to access a service online and be encouraged by the praise and encouraged by hearing God's word. But this morning, as I was preparing my heart to come and share something with you from God's word, I found myself drawn to that section of the book of Psalms called the Songs of Ascents. These were songs that were sung by God's people as they made their way to worship him together. Psalms that were written precisely for that purpose. Now, some of these psalms would reflect an annual pilgrimage, but there was one stood out particularly to me. As I was looking through the Bible and thinking what we would look at this morning, and that was Psalm 126, particularly apt, and I hope you'll agree with me, because in Psalm 126, which we heard read at the beginning of our service this morning, the psalmist and the worshippers are rejoicing in their return to Zion. You know, our 13 months may seem small compared to their 70 years of exile in Babylon, but don't our hearts echo their rejoicing when the psalmist says, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, our tongue with shouts of joy. Friends, I know that even as I record this message now to go onto YouTube, when God willing, I gather with those who are able to gather with us for our first service this Sunday morning, I know I'll be rejoicing. And I hope even if you're not with us, you'll be rejoicing too in the fact that we are able to do this. We're moving forward, and God willing, from next week onwards, our Sunday morning service will be available to as many as would wish to come and worship with us. But take some time with me this morning as we think about Psalm 126. It begins with a cry of joy. Those verses I read just a moment ago, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, our tongue with shouts of joy. Friends, no one could deny how hard this past year has been, and how we've longed for the day when we could gather once again and worship. Some of us have dreamt of it, literally. I'm recording this message on Saturday evening. I woke up this morning dreaming about being back in church tomorrow morning. Restrictions are being lifted. Freedoms that we've not enjoyed are being restored. And surely our hearts are glad today either as we gather in church or as we listen to this recorded message in Ayrshire or wherever else, oh, that each of us would share in our hearts and soon know that joy of gathering with our brothers and sisters in Christ wherever we are. Oh, they were brought back from Babylon. The Lord had used the King Cyrus to come in and move in such a way that his people were able to return to the land that he had promised them and given them. Friends, we don't need to go to Jerusalem. In a sense, we don't even need to go to church, but how important that when we're able to, we do. Because God never meant believers to live in isolation where it is possible for them to have fellowship with other Christians. So I encourage you to rejoice, not only if you're coming to church this morning, but rejoice in the fact that people are able to come to church this morning. And I pray that soon, even if you're not with us, you will be able to join either us or join with other believers wherever you are. But may there be a cry of joy in our hearts as the Lord restores the fortunes of Zion. You know, in the King James Version, it speaks of when God brought back the captives from Zion. And this is very much about people, because God deals with us as individuals. I ask you this morning, has God brought you back, perhaps? Not simply back to able to worship, but back from the world, back into his fold, back into trusting in him. Is there joy in your heart? I pray there is. But you know, in these verses of Psalm 126, there's also a testimony of deliverance and thanksgiving. It says, then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. God's faithfulness to his people in sustaining them and restoring them was there for all the nations to see as he brought his people back from Babylon and established them once again in the land that he had given them. And friends, whilst perhaps our gathering back together in worship will not catch the eye of the world, may it be that we ourselves are able to say the Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. I pray that we're a thankful people. Well, this past year has had its ups and downs. It's had its share, and some of us would say much more than our share, of pain and sorrow and suffering. But friends, God has never left us. When God said in his word, I will never leave you nor forsake you, dear child of God, be assured that he never has and he never will. May we give thanks to him. You know, God's people had before this been delivered from captivity in Egypt. Now they've been brought back from the Babylonian captivity. But both those great deliverances were simply pointing forward to the day when God one day would deliver all his people. Not through Moses, nor through Cyrus, but through his dear son, the Lord Jesus Christ, set free, delivered. And can we say the Lord has done great things for us? We are glad. I want to burst into singing that Andre Crouch. He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless his holy name. Friends, I hope you're wanting to sing with me. But you know, in these verses, we also find a prayer for renewal. In verse 4, we read, "Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev." Deal with the streams in the Negev first. The Negev was a desert. For much of the year, it would be an arid region. Yet when the rains would come, they would come suddenly. They would come heavily. And in days, that arid desert would be turned into a carpet of flowers and life, just waiting to spring forth when the water would come and bring them to life. And the prayer of the psalmist is that, Lord, you would restore our fortunes. You know, as they returned from Babylon to Zion, there was a lot of work to be done. A lot of work. Of course, God would use Ezra and Nehemiah to really, as it were, mobilize and motivate the people into that work. We have an election in Scotland on Thursday, and all of the parties are busy telling us everything they're going to do to restore our fortunes in Scotland after COVID, after other things, that everyone has a plan to restore our economy, our communities, our health service, all of these things. I'm not going to say anything about politics. I try as a pastor to be as non-partisan as I can. All I will say is not only pray that God will guide you as to how to vote, but when we hear come Friday morning who has been elected, let us pray that they will not only govern wisely as those elected by the people, but also govern as those conscious that their ultimate authority, the ultimate one to whom they must answer, is not the electorate, but is Almighty God. That's as political as I'm going to get this morning. But friends, what are we to make of this? Restore our fortunes, O Lord. Friends, there's work for us to do. Work that we have been unable to do as a church for a year. And let us indeed be in prayer that the Lord would show us where to go as we would seek to re-establish our outreach within our congregation and the various ministries that have not been functioning. Oh, we bless God for all that has been happening. And many good things have been happening through our small groups using Zoom, through folks just looking out for one another, through our Sunday school on Zoom every Sunday morning, our prayer meeting on a Tuesday evening. But friends, none of these can take the place of us getting together and serving together and worshipping together. Oh, may that day soon come when indeed we may be able to do that and see the Lord restore his work among us, to not only gather us back, but to give us our part to play in the days ahead as we seek to work for him and witness to him in all our life as a fellowship. Well, that's the prayer for renewal. That was the third point, if you're counting. The fourth and final point, a promise of hope. Verse 5 and 6, those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Oh, friends, there have been many tears and much weeping over these past 13 months, especially to those of you within the fellowship who have lost loved ones, whether to COVID or to other causes. Yet you've had to grieve. You've had to say your farewells in ways that have been alien and strange to us. The captives returning from Babylon knew what it was like to be in an alien situation and culture. Indeed, in Psalm 137, they write that the psalmist writes, by the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung up our lyres, for there our captors required of us songs, and our tormentors mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? Oh, friends, they sat down, they wept, they wailed, because the pain was real. But there is a promise here of hope. The one who sows in tears shall reap with joy. The one who goes out weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy. Friends, as we look at the words of those verses, verse 5 and 6 of Psalm 126, there's a place for our personal tears. Not simply tears of sorrow, tears of suffering, but also a repentance. For what one of us can say that we have been all we could have been in our daily walk, in our daily witness? What that the Lord would have us turn to him in repentance and find our joy restored. I've said this to you so often, I believe with all my heart, the truly saved, converted, born again person cannot lose their salvation. Not only does God know that, I'm sure the devil knows that too. But do you know what you can be robbed of? You can be robbed of your joy by a bitterness, perhaps. A bitterness towards others. Or dare I say, a bitterness toward God? Oh, but that we might come in repentance and find our joy restored. There is also within these verses a place of personal prayer for the lost, tears for the lost, as we would seek to go out with the good news of the gospel, to do so in tears. I don't know if it's still there, but I'm told there was a time you could go to the vestry in St. Peter's Free Church in Dundee, where McShane, Robert Murray McShane, had been the minister. And in that vestry, you would find in front of just a wooden chair, you would find a carpet that was stained and bleached with Robert Murray McShane's tears. Yet few men of his generation had a greater heart to see souls saved. He poured that heart out in tears before his God. Do you know the amazing thing? It was when he left Dundee to go and inquire after the state of God's ancient people in the land of Palestine. that God, in his sovereign purpose, brought revival. He may not have used McShane's presence, but I believe with all my heart, McShane's prayers were effective in that revival in Dundee. And you will still find St. Peter's Free Church in Dundee, a thriving, vibrant, worshipping congregation of God's people. So repentance leading to restored joy. Prayer for the lost and witnessing leading to a harvest. Yes, that's in these verses too. But you know, whether returning to Zion or returning to gathered worship, the focus of the Lord's people goes beyond. It goes beyond that rocky outcrop upon which David had built his citadel, Mount Zion. It goes beyond our buildings at New Prestwick Baptist Church. It takes us right to Hebrews 12, verse 22, where we read, "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." Dare I say, friends, it could be possible to even tomorrow come to church and not have come to Jesus, not have come to him. He's the one who mediates the new covenant. He is the one who, by his shed blood, is able to make us right with God. So ultimately, it's not about getting back to church, wonderful though that is. What matters more to any of us is, have we come to Christ? There may have been a time when we believed we walked with him and we've wandered far. Just as there was a way back to Zion from Babylon and a way back to church from lockdown, there's an old hymn that says, "There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a way that is open and all may go in. At Calvary's cross is where you begin. When you come as a sinner to Jesus." Have you come to Jesus? You may say, "I have, and he's been there for me, but I have struggled. I have struggled through these past 13 months. It's been hard. It's been hard. There's been times when I don't know how to bring together the circumstances that we're faced with a God who is loving. The world seems to be in such a mess. We're thankful for the progress here in Scotland and in the rest of the United Kingdom. But look at India. Even as we've prayed for the folks of India's rural evangelical fellowship this morning and the loss that they're suffering. But friends, the scriptures put our suffering in context and perspective. Here's the Apostle Paul. He says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Friends, our patience is being rewarded, we're told, as we start to do more things. We went out for a meal at lunchtime today. Again, I'm saying recording this on Saturday. Right, lovely to go out for a meal again. And we look forward with patience to more easing. Oh, but friends, do you not with me look forward? Look forward to that day of which the Apostle Paul speaks in these words. When the whole creation is set free. That's not this old, dying creation. That's a new creation. A new creation that's coming. And that's why, as I close this message this morning, I ask you to look beyond even the joy of being back in church to a greater joy that is set before us. John the Apostle writes, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.'" Oh, friends, we long for that day when the Lord will not only restore the fortunes of Zion, and we bless him as he, as it were, restores our fortunes in the here and now, but long for that day when he will restore all things. The Lord Jesus, he came. He gave himself for us, that we might be part of God's family. There's only one way into his family. That's through being born again. that work that Jesus accomplished on the cross for us. As by God's grace, realizing that that was for us. Trusting him, turning from sin, believing in him in faith, for it is by grace you have been saved. Through what? Not through works, but by faith. By faith. Lest any of us would boast. Oh, friends. Yes, rejoice to be back at worship, but rejoice that one day we will worship around the throne, and all the tears and all the pain will be gone. Oh, let's bring our worship to a close in prayer and then sing together. There is a higher throne than all this world has known, and on that throne is the Lamb of God, who died to put an end to our sins. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you. We thank you and bless you that you are the God who restores. You restored your people to Zion. You restored the years the locusts had eaten. And Father, you still restore. We thank you that in many places you are enabling us to be restored to our gathered worship, and we bless you. Oh Father, how we pray that indeed soon we may all be able to worship you once again, whether in Prestwick and Ayr, or Father, wherever else we might be. But even as we long for that day, Father, may we long for a coming day. A coming day when indeed Christ will come and a new creation shall be brought into being. And we will be part of that by your grace, even as now those of us who are in Christ indeed are a new creation. Father, receive our thanks, our joy, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And now we'll sing together, There Is a Higher Throne.